You're listening to Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton. Across our nation, there are hot spots where the COVID-19 pandemic has created an immediate healthcare crisis. New Orleans is one of those places. As of Tuesday, the state of Louisiana had reported 239 deaths, with more than 5,000 cases, almost 1,400 requiring hospitalization, with 438 of those hospitalized on ventilators. Most of these statistics involve residents of New Orleans. Dennis Woltering is a retired television news anchor. He spent many years with CBS affiliate WWL, and he lives across the Mississippi River from downtown New Orleans. Dennis, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Glad to talk to you.
Give us a snapshot of what's the current situation in your city.
Well, everyone is sort of staying home. Just reading the paper this morning, and the number of identified viruses is down from the past 2 days. So the growth rate is declining. Don't know if that's a permanent trend or not, but at least for the past 2 days, the growth rate is down. It was 276 over the past couple days. Before that, it was 587 in the previous 2 days. So that's a good sign, but a lot of things are difficult. The mayor was saying yesterday that the city is facing a $100 million deficit because of this. And of course, you know, so many businesses are closed. I was encouraging people, you know, other people have been encouraging people as well to support our local restaurants, calling for takeout and drive through and that kind of thing. But still, it's difficult for the restaurants to stay open. A sushi place that we love near us finally closed down. They just couldn't support what was going on.
New Orleans went through Mardi Gras despite some growing concern about the pandemic. What did you think about that at the time, and what do you think about it now?
Well, yeah, I know the mayor is getting some criticism for that, for not shutting down Mardi Gras, but I don't think we knew enough about what was happening then. I mean, I think federal authorities had some insight into it, but locally we did not. I mean, we had heard a little bit about something happening in China, but that was it. And probably it was going around during Mardi Gras. I mean, my wife and I, Carol, we are members of two Mardi Gras clubs, and one of them, Crew de Vue, paraded 2.5 weeks before Mardi Gras Day. And our parade is sort of satirical, and we parade among the spectators. We don't have big floats with tractors pulling us. We pull our own floats, and we have mules pulling the floats. We build our own floats. So we are among the people when we parade. And also, our crew is a very friendly group. There's a lot of hugging and, you know, kissing on the cheek and that sort of thing. So, I mean, it was certainly a ripe atmosphere for, you know, transmitting a disease. And as I think back on it, a friend of mine in our sub crew was very sick about 3 weeks before our parade. Our parade was February 8th. And a couple of weeks before the parade, I got very sick and I had to cancel a dental appointment. And now looking back on that, I wonder if we had coronavirus. Uh-huh. It may well have been. I don't know.
Well, your daughter is a nurse. She's been sick and tested, and she's living with you, with your granddaughter. Does she think she has COVID?
Well, she suspects that she does. She's feeling much better now, and they want her to quarantine for another week before she goes back to work. But it's so weird that, I mean, she had the test about 3 or 4 days ago, and she went in the day before she finally got the test, and they ran out. By 8:30 in the morning, they had no more tests. And so she went back the next day at 7 a.m., and she was stood in line for a couple hours and finally got tested, but then she still hasn't gotten the results. So I mean, she could be healed, or, you know, be passing this on to other people before she even finds out if she has it. It's just a bizarre situation.
You and Carol and I are among the age group considered more vulnerable. What protective measures have you taken, aside from the fact that you may have had COVID and may then be, at least for the time being, inoculated?
Yeah. Well, we're trying to stay away from Kristen, our daughter, the nurse, and she is in her room. And Carly they have a bathroom in between their two rooms. And Carly is using another bathroom now, so that she's trying to stay away from Kristen as well. And we are majorly washing our hands every chance we get. We go to the grocery store. We generally wear a mask, and I bring along like a Clorox wipe to wipe down the grocery cart and that sort of thing, and wipe everything I touch. And I think that's what most people here are doing now.
You lived and worked through Hurricane Katrina in 2006. Have New Orleans' experiences with disaster helped the response to the current emergency, do you think? Or is this just too new, too different?
I think it does help. That, actually, I did a little video. The station asked me to make a video of encouragement for people going through this. And I think that this is a lot like Katrina. I mean, it's just a different kind of challenge. But what I reminded people of in my video was that Mardi Gras, actually Katrina was in 2005, late August of 2005. Mardi Gras took place 6 months later. Mm-hmm. And people asked, and this was controversial at the time, will there be Mardi Gras parades in 2006 after this devastation and death and that kind of thing? And this guy who became known as Mr. Mardi Gras, the major float builder in New Orleans, said, absolutely, there will be parading. Well, a lot of people thought there shouldn't be. And across the country, a lot of people thought that was disrespectful and, you know, wrong. It didn't, you know, in view of what had happened. But that Mardi Gras was the best Mardi Gras we ever had because it was evidence that we were coming back, that we were going to survive this. And what I said in my video of encouragement is that, you know, eventually we're going to have something like that after this is over. We're going to come back, and it's just going to feel so emotional. It's going to be a great moment.
Well, you're a veteran journalist. You and I go way back. You worked in the Fargo-Moorhead area at a TV station. We worked together decades ago.
Yeah.
You've been in Philadelphia. You've spent many years in New Orleans. What's your opinion of the coverage of the pandemic?
Well, it seems a little bit hysterical at times. And I think that we have to stress that a lot of people are recovering from it a little bit more than we hear. Because I think, you know, most people are recovering. And I think it's important to take safety precautions. It's important to, you know, follow these stay at home rules and guidelines. But I think that focusing so much on the death may be an extreme reaction.
How strict are the stay at home regulations in New Orleans?
Well, actually, there was, you know what a second line parade is, when people parade in the streets, sort of a impromptu celebration. Sometimes it's after funerals.
Yes.
Where they have a dirge where they, you know, mourn the person who died, and then they have sort of a celebration of his or her life. Well, someone had a second line celebration last week. And they refused to disband when they were ordered to by police, and the organizer of that was arrested. So they're trying to take it seriously. We're allowed to exercise. I ride my bike and things like that. As long as you stay away from other people, you know, that's considered okay.
How would you rate your city and your state's leadership handling this crisis?
I think they're doing very well, actually. I think that our mayor has been, you know, holding daily briefings, and I think she's done a good job with it. And our governor, John Bel Edwards, has been he's also had daily briefings. I think they've been on top of it. I think they got a slow start to it, and I think that was, I think the federal authorities failed to alert state and local officials about the danger of this.
Well, how about the president and his pandemic team? What's your take on them?
Well, I think the experts are doing a great job. I think that he has to congratulate himself about everything, and that gets a little tiresome to hear. But I think his experts are doing a great job, and I'm glad they have persuaded him to, you know, keep the stay-at-home orders in place for another, the social distancing in place for another month.
You mentioned the testing and the delay in testing and the scarcity in some cases of testing. How big a concern has that been in New Orleans?
That has been a concern because, some people have not been able to get tested. And, and then the delay in the results, you know, it just seems crazy. I guess they just don't have a way to do that any faster. I mean, I understand, I've heard and read that they're coming up with new ways to improve the testing, the speed of the testing results. But so far, that hasn't come here.
In New York City, as you know, they're putting up emergency hospitals in Central Park. They've got a hospital ship in the harbor. The Javits Center has been converted into a hospital. Has New Orleans made any accommodations in terms of its hospital facilities?
Well, the convention center here has been, they're going to be used that for overflow patients, patients who need other kinds of assistance, other kinds of medical attention. So they are doing that, yeah, the same kind of thing.
Well, when we think about New Orleans, we think about the entertainment and hospitality industry. It's huge there. You've got a casino, you've got Mardi Gras, you've got lots of hotels and jazz clubs and restaurants that are famous the world around. This has really had to have a severe impact on those people.
Oh, it's devastating. It is devastating for the hospitality industry. I mean, hotels and, you know, jazz clubs and all of that is shut down. And I mean, some of our local entertainers are doing online concerts so we can watch them, but they're not getting paid for any of that. No, it's going to have a huge impact on the financial situation of a lot of people in this city, in this region.
When we started talking, you mentioned the potential loss in income or the blow to the economy being very big. Is there any sense of how long this is going to persist in your city and the kind of recovery that might be involved?
I have not heard any prediction on that. I mean, our governor has also extended the stay-at-home social distancing guideline through the end of April. So at least that far, and it probably will be June or July before the recovery really gets underway, I would expect. And that's a huge impact. Actually, this, Doug, as you probably know, this is festival season in New Orleans. I mean, we have Jazz Fest, we have French Quarter Fest, which is a big free festival. All of that has been shut down. Jazz Fest is an international event that, you know, brings thousands of people to the city. And none of that is happening. So it really is going to have a tremendous impact on this city.
Well, I remember a very memorable Jazz Fest at the old fairgrounds many years ago. And that's a crowd, that's for sure.
Yep.
Dennis, thanks for spending some time with us today.
Good talking to you, Doug. Good to hear your voice again. All my best to you.
Dennis Woltering is the retired news anchor for WWL Television in New Orleans, Louisiana.